And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Count with one finger. The games we got like
zero fingers.
Kentucky.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I did get hawked down, so I'm kind of mad about that. Frisbee catching dog.
Me and Jamon got a cool relationship.
And I informed him of my decision that he stepped down.
Come back and wait for the next mission assignment and directive.
It was a huge win for us.
exciting.
There are no easy wins in this league.
You got to show up every week in this league, or you get handed to you.
Tom played well.
You know, the guys didn't blink.
Just happy that we were able to find kind of a groove a little bit.
We lost a unanimous decision in 12-round fight.
Receivers played well.
We have to find a way to be better.
I thought we got behind the chains too much.
Backs played well.
In the NFL, every game is going to be a fight to the finish.
We got our asses kicked.
Line played well.
The story of today was defensively Adrian Claiborne.
Everybody gets a paycheck this week.
It's amazing that they believe in themselves.
I'm never worried about my job security.
What situation? No situation.
I know what it looks like, and they played just exactly like I anticipated. They play.
Defense played well.
We played really good football for a long time.
At the end of the day, we just couldn't block.
Obviously, the teams was a glaring issue.
If you're kicking field goals every time you're in the red area rather than scoring touchdowns, it's going to be very hard to win football games.
Special teams played well.
And welcome in. Hour number two underway here on a Monday edition of The Closers. Welcome in. Jordan Barnett, Kevin Puryear, Larry Roundtree, Emmanuel Hall, Drew Locke. Emmanuel Hall compares catching a pass, a deep ball from Drew Locke to a dog catching a frisbee. John Curry, the Tennessee athletic director, as he let Coach Butch Jones go on Sunday. Urban Meyer, Gus Malzahn, Mark Richt, Jim Caldwell, DetroitLions.com, Todd Bowles, Jets.com, Bill Belichick smattered around there because everybody played well on Sunday Night Football as they romped over the Denver Broncos. Mike Tomlin, they didn't blink. Ben Roethlisberger, he knows how to face adversity on and off the field.
Forward?
Yeah. Well, he's not real good with windshields, but he can face adversity. Todd Bowles back at it again. Bill Belichick, Josh McCown, Jason Garrett, Bill again, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Bill Belichick, Dan Quinn, Ben McAdoo. I mean, he's not the former head coach of the New York Football Giants
yet,
but he's inching his way there. I mean, that was an awful loss on Sunday. It's a good win for the Giants or for the Niners, but anyway, Mike Mularkey, John Fox. Let's see, Ben McAdoo again, Jim Caldwell, DetroitLions.com, Billy again, Chuck Pagano, who his team, the Colts, played really, really well until they didn't. Jerry Jones, Vance Joseph, Brock Osweiler, stating the obvious. Touchdowns are better than field goals. And the press person for the New York Football Giants calling it into the entire proceeding saying, all right, that's all, folks. So that is all of our montage on a Monday afternoon. Cameron T., Columbia Daily Tribune, joining us now. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. It was a pretty good weekend around on campus. Not, however, a good weekend for a lot of the area high school football teams. The only team that came out of the other end of this quarterfinal action for high school football was the Falcons of Blair Oaks. What the heck happened elsewhere?
Yeah, everybody ran into some tough matchups. I don't know. It was kind of crazy to see everybody go down. I didn't expect everybody but Blair Oaks to win or to lose.
Well, and Moberly loses at home. Battle goes on the road. How much is sometimes on the high school level just that hopping in the bus and that four-hour bus ride to wherever and then trying to get out and get all excited about playing football again?
Yeah, that's really tough for a lot of teams. I mean, you're sitting on top of sitting in school all day. Well, some teams play Saturday, but on Fridays, I mean, you're sitting in school all day, just all you think about is football, and then you have a three-hour bus ride. And then for Saturday games, you're waking up and then sitting on a bus for 3 hours probably makes it even tough, even tougher. So I can't imagine it's very difficult. It was tough when I was playing in high school, so I just know it's tough for a lot of kids.
Yeah, and that Saturday game was what befell Westrand as they had to hit the road. But, you know, Clark County goes by North Callaway. I mean, North Callaway was on a roll coming in. Eldon, the team that surprised me, I think, really, Cameron, was Eldon falling. I mean, they were running up 50, 60, 70 points all season long. They get 6 against Mount Vernon. Does that tell you how good Mount Vernon's defense is, and is it good enough to get them to a state title?
I'd imagine so. I mean, yeah. They've been a pretty good team all year. They've had some pretty good results as well. I don't know a ton about Montgomery.
Right.
But I mean, when you're able to hold an offense like Eldon to six, you're looking pretty good.
Battle Falls, and this was an interesting season for Coach Conyers because you had some key injuries. You had a lot of people questioning about the team discipline with penalties and all of the rest of that. As he sits down in the offseason, kind of put yourself in his shoes, missing that semifinal for the first time in school history. Now, granted, you've been around for 5 years, so it's not like a long and storied history, but it is a history.
Right.
What do you change anything?
Change anything in terms of the program?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
there's a lot of teams who would love to beat a five straight quarterfinals. So I think they're doing fine. Obviously, they have a lot they're losing. Mm-hmm. Probably the most they're losing is in linebacker Trey Morris. But I don't think they changed much. I mean, their program is their program, and it's going to stay the way that it is. You just kind of got to add in new players.
And the one team that does move out on the weekend, as we mentioned, Blair Oaks Falcons, they move on. They picked up a 32-16 win Friday night over McClure South. So good luck to the Blair Oaks Falcons, which really trimmed everything that we have to talk about for high school football down to one team and one team only. So good luck to the Blair Oaks Falcons. All right, Cameron, so the high school season is winding down on football. I know basketball is ramping up, so you've got to worry about that as well. But let's switch to basketball on the collegiate level. How much fun, just from a fan's standpoint, Cameron, how much fun was Friday night to walk into that Mizzou arena and just feel that buzz?
Oh, it was nice. I mean, I walked in at about probably 5:30, 5:15, and it was just packed. I mean, just in the media room. I remember Danny walked in, like right, Danny Jones, who also does football for us, walked in right behind me, and he goes, man, it's crazy in here. It was just to see everybody there, to hear the noise. When people's names are getting announced, it was nice to see.
And then, of course, Michael, the big story coming out of the game, all of a sudden, it wasn't really kind of the win. That became the ancillary thing, but Michael Porter Jr. playing 2 minutes of the available 40, the other 38 minutes, he was holding an ice bag on a hip. It sounded like a tweaked hip. What do you think about for tonight? I mean, he was listed as day-to-day, but what are you hearing about his participation tonight?
Oh, I mean, I've heard a lot of things.
Yeah.
I've heard he's going to – it's just similar to how he was hurt when everybody was trying to theorize on what was hurting him.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that day from a source that it's not that big of a deal. Then I've heard that it is a big deal. I've heard he'll play tonight. He won't play tonight. It's kind of up in the air. My guess is if he can play, he'll play. If not, you'll probably see him against Utah.
Okay, and the follow question on that was then without him on that basketball court, now granted he is averaging a point and a rebound per minute, so that's not terrible. What, it's 2 points in 2 minutes. That's a point a minute, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Don't you scoff over there.
I didn't scoff, I laughed.
Okay.
Goodness.
Jeez. A little antsy over there, aren't you?
No.
Okay. How impressive was it for this Missouri Tiger team to do what they did without any really real participation from Porter?
I thought it was big. I mean, especially for that group. I mean, all offseason long, all you've heard about is Michael this, mm-hmm. Michael Porter Jr. this, Michael Porter Jr. that. I think it was really big for that team. I don't know if confidence-wise, I think they know how good they can be without Michael. But I think it was good to put it into action and put it against a quality Power 5 opponent and really dominate them the whole game. I mean, they were 22, 23 points better than Iowa State that night.
Cam, Coach Martin talked a lot about getting a rotation figured out, and maybe he kind of made noise like he was trying to trim and trim and trim and get down and down and down. And then he kind of sort of played everybody and let it kind of run. And obviously Michael Porter's minutes became open. But anything you take from guys getting a ton of minutes?
You'll see that trim down. I think a lot of it, especially Friday night, came from trying to fill Michael Porter Jr.'s minutes and trying to get his production out of multiple other people, because you're not going to get his production out of just one person. But I think you saw, like, the guys who got the major minutes, I think you can kind of tell if you look at it who those eight or nine, maybe 10 guys are. I know Konzo said after Mizzou Madison wanted it to be nine, I could see it being nine, maybe 10 at times. But I think he probably has that rotation. I think he just had to use a few more bodies Friday night when Michael Porter Jr. went down.
Cameron Teague, Columbia Daily Tribune with us here on the close. You can follow him on Twitter at CJ_Teague. Some of the old guard really had good nights, including Kevin Puryear coming off of the bench. Incredibly efficient as well. 6 of 7 for his 17 points in 29 minutes of action. Does that tell us more about the system that Konzo was running as opposed to what Kim Anderson was trying to shoehorn different people into roles that really weren't well suited for them?
Well, I just think it's the fact that the roster allows them to be in roles that Kevin Puryear doesn't have to be the number one guy. Jordan Barnett doesn't have to be the number one guy. They're in roles where they can be that lead scorer, but the focus isn't on them. You know what I mean? And when last year, defenses had to focus on Kevin Puryear and Jordan Barnett. This year, defense had to focus on Jonte and Jeremiah Tillman. You have more shooting threats in Cassius when Collins knocking down shots. I think they have more weapons. So it allows those guys to get open looks and it allows them to kind of do what they can without forcing it, without trying to force points on the board.
Was the Cassius point guard experiment a one game, or do you think that is something that, I mean, maybe not married to, but at least Coach Konzo Martin seriously dating?
Yeah, I don't think it's something you get rid of after the first day. I thought he did some good things. Mm-hmm. His shooting percentage is obviously the big mark. 3 of 12 isn't what you expect from him. But like Coach Martin said, and it's real, a lot of truth to this, playing point guard as a shooter and playing as a shooting guard as a shooter is much different. When you're playing on two, you're spotting up, you're kind of off the ball. For Cassius, a lot of his shots came off the dribble, so you saw a lot of off-balance shots. I think once he kind of gets in that rhythm, you'll see him kind of knock down a lot of those shots, but I like him in point guard because I think he opens up a lot of opportunities for that offense.
On the inside, Tillman really, really responded well. But as a whole, the post presence and who might get time and how they're going to split that up, anything to take away from that after that one game? Or do you think, again, that's going to evolve over a little bit of time?
I think that'll continue to evolve. I think you'll see Jeremiah get most of the time down there. I think you'll see Jonte get, as his production kind of fills up, you'll see him get a little bit more time as well. I think you'll also see a little bit more of Reed Nico. I just think he has a chance to I guess, come in, play solid defense, and spell Jeremiah Tillman and Jonte a little bit because you don't want either of those guys getting in foul trouble, especially Jeremiah, because he's so useful on both ends of the floor. I think those are kind of your three big posts, and then you can kind of do a little bit of a few other things with different lineups if you want to move, like, Kevin to the five and put Michael at the four. You can kind of get a little more athletic in that sense. But I think those are your three big posts at the moment.
And again, on the scorebook, Michael Porter only getting the first 2 minutes of the game because he was in the book and he got 2 points and 2 rebounds because of injury. Maybe play tonight. We'll see how that works out. Of the guys that were under double-digit numbers, there were three of them in playing time: Terrence Phillips, Reed Nico, and Blake Harris. Of those three, Cameron, who is more likely to continue the trend to be under 10 minutes of action?
I think it's probably Terrence Phillips just because it seems like Coach Martin really likes Jordan Geist and what he brings to the floor. So when you're talking about in terms of guards, that brings Cassius, Jordan Geist, Blake Harris. You're using Cullen starting. You could lose Jordan there. It's just a lot of guards in front of Terrence to see him getting more than 10 minutes a game. But that could obviously – all this can still change. You could see maybe him and Blake Harris flipping. A lot of it, I think, believe at that position is going to be focused on defense. Cassius said it in media day last week. Coach Martin doesn't play around a defense at the guard position. If you're going to get plenty of time, you have to play defense. So I think you could see those two flip-flop maybe here or there. But if I had to say now, it's probably Terrence who's kind of the odd man out of that situation.
Cameron T, Columbia Daily Tribune with us here on the closers. All right, out of the look back, kind of the post analysis going into tonight's game, who looked their age out there on Friday night?
You mean like
who played like, you like, okay, they're a freshman, but they're playing like a sophomore or a junior. Or you look at another guy and you go, man, that is freshman all over him.
Jeremiah Tillman looked like he didn't look like a sophomore. He didn't look like a freshman out there. He played really, really well. I don't know. I thought everybody played pretty well. Jonte didn't have production like in terms of points, which you would expect from him, but I thought he played really well defensively and was very, very aggressive on the boards. I don't know. I'd probably go with Jeremiah just because he's someone who I guess you don't like. You didn't really expect that offensive output from him, especially coming into the year. Everybody was saying he was very, very raw, but in that game he looked very polished. He's a freshman, but looked like he was probably a sophomore or a junior out there. But yeah, that's probably the best answer for that.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It was like throwing a basketball into a pillow with his hands. Friday night. All right, Tigers and the Wagner Seahawks this evening. What's the quick thumbnail sketch from Cameron Teague about tonight's basketball game?
I don't think Mizzou should have any trouble. I think they should be fine. The thing is, for Mizzou, you want to see them tone down the turnovers. They had 17 against Iowa State. I think they could have 17 against Wagner and still win easily, but when you're getting ready to go to Utah and you're getting ready for this Advocate Invitational Orlando, you want to start toning down on the turnovers because you're going to get into some really good competition. So tonight's a good night to start that. You also want to see Cassius Robinson have a better shooting performance than he did Friday. I think that will come. He won't shoot 3 of 12 every day. He's too good of a shooter to do that. I think Mizzou wins easily. And I think the focus for them just really focusing on keeping control of the ball.
Yeah, I think 3 of 12 even surprised Coach Martin in the post game when he was going to go all effusive praise on Cassius Robertson and then got to look at that line and kind of dialed it back.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Cameron T, Columbia Daily Tribune. What do we got working in the hopper tonight this week for you in the CDT?
A few things I'm kind of working towards right now, but the big thing is just the high school basketball preview. I'll have my last high school basketball story. It'll be a cover story on the Rockbridge trio of Isaiah Mosley, who has the Mizzou offer, DeJuan Harris, who's a point guard, and Jamani Black, all three of Division I prospects, and are poised to have a really big year for Rockbridge.
All right. Oh, last basketball deal that you're doing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll probably do some stuff, but it's the last big deal.
Okay. So do we have breaking news? Who's the new prep reporter?
Oh, no, I don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of string out the games for the time being.
Okay. Well, good luck, and hopefully you don't end up on the frayed end of that particular string.
Yeah. I hope not.
Okay. All right, Cameron, thank you much for the time, man. I appreciate it. We'll see you over at the Hoops tonight.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Cameron T., Columbia Daily Tribune. Basketball tonight, Missouri Tigers and the Seahawks of Wagner set for an 8 p.m. tip over at the Mizzou Arena. And last I had heard, seats are still available. So go fill them, will you?
Yes.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Thanks to Cameron Teague for joining us in that last segment. Hour number one, we had Danny Jones as we doubled up on the Columbia Daily Tribune Twins.
Yep.
So we got that taken care of. 442-8255 is the phone number here on the program. The Kansas City Chiefs were off this past weekend, as were the Raiders of right now, Oakland, soon to be Vegas. They had the groundbreaking today.
At 5 p.m.,
yeah,
which is 7 p.m. our time, they will have it, and it is a private ceremony.
It's a private ceremony.
I guess that's what you get when you don't take a lot of taxpayer money. You get a private
ceremony.
It's
a by invite only. If you're interested in it, I would suggest a Twitter follow for you. It is at Helen Yee Sports, HelenYee Sports. You can figure out that one on your own. She is a friend of the program, and she is actually out in Vegas because it covers a lot of boxing and MMA stuff, also a lot of NFL stuff, and she will be at that groundbreaking tonight. Well, for us, it's tonight. For them, it's like lunchtime.
It'll still be dark.
Well, it's dark now.
Right.
I didn't phrase that correctly. Jay?
Yeah?
You know what it is outside right now?
Is it dark?
Yeah, it's dark.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Not really. It's just dark.
Okay.
It's not interesting. It's just dark. 442-8255 is the phone number. More impressive performance out of the weekend. Missouri Tiger basketball on Friday night with a 74-59 win over the Cyclones of Iowa State, or Missouri's 50-17 beatdown of the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday?
Well, I mean, from a strict Vegas perspective, the basketball game was obviously a much bigger thing. It was more of a contest.
Winner.
And, you know, there was more uncertainty going into that game. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, I mean, I think in opposite sort of ways, the football team was in a bit of a tussle going into halftime, kind of still. And the basketball team actually got out to such a big early lead, kind of removed some of that doubt and then just kind of trailed. And then football finally put it into gear there in the second half.
They bageled the Volunteers in half number two. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the program.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that the more impressive win was the Missouri Tigers, because I was watching on the SEC channel, those guys after the game, they were peeing their pants talking about how good we were. And I don't know, you know, they were rattling off the stats of basically how we completely turned it around in whatever, four games, mm-hmm. After losing however many we lost. But more ironically, we get their coach fired, which, you know, four games ago I would have said we get rid of Odom and we take Butch, which I know sounds stupid now, but that was my thinking not so long ago.
It was a very crowded bus that you were on not that long ago. Now it's a mighty empty bus. I think I'm not even sure the driver's still employed on that particular bus. But
no, I'm going to shut up now, and I'll get off the phone and listen to you guys the rest of the show. But good show. But yeah, I'm going Tigers win for sure, man. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Odom's the man. Odom's the man.
Oh, you buy in now. Yeah, 4 weeks ago, you were like, yeah, get him out of town. Thanks. 442-8255. Okay, so Missouri Tiger football on Saturday night. Now, part of that is just what they're doing to these other teams. And one of the things that we've always talked about on this show, and I don't care whether it's high school, college, professional level, if you think you're better than the other team, or the general consensus among the those of us who think we have knowledge, is that, listen, this other team isn't very good. You should go out and win this game. With that as the platform, I think the most impressive part for Missouri in this four-game win streak is not only they've gone out and won these games, you're better than UConn, right?
Should be.
Better than Idaho, right?
Should be.
Better than Florida?
Should be.
Better than Tennessee?
Should be.
Okay. You've gone out and you've handled your business in convincing fashion all four times. And who would have thought that the Vandals would have scored the most points out of this group at 21? But you beat Idaho, scoring 68. Then you scored 52. Then 45. And now 50. And again, Idaho scored 21.
Sure. No, I mean, listen, I get it. I get that sentiment, and I don't have any problem with mm-hmm. that. I think that is a continue. But just like that, I mean, after three in a row, listen, if Mizzou beats Iowa State, which they did, mm-hmm. and if they beat Wagner tonight, hopefully convincingly, much like Mizzou Idaho or Mizzou UConn, and then they go beat Utah, I mean, that next win isn't going to be as much of a surprise as, you know, maybe one of those along the way. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, when I was coming at it was more so just the simple fact that basketball was an unknown. And
oh, a huge unknown.
A huge unknown, and people kind of had it 50-50 mm-hmm. or within the, you know, margin of error of 50-50 going into that game. And for such a nice, decisive win, I think that really showed something. Whereas the football team, obviously a great win, obviously continuing to do what they do, but they were double-digit favorites going into that game, which I'm not opposed to. I'm pro that. I think they opened up at, what, 9 today against Vandy?
7.5 was the early money line on Sunday evening.
Okay, I think I saw it today. It was close to 9, okay. 8.5 or 9. So already moving Mizzou's way. And, you know, I mean, I like that. I'm pro that. I want more of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm good with it. I just, like I said, this particular weekend, I think the basketball team was a little more impressive overall, only if it helped to color in the lines a little bit and show us what they were.
Well, I agree with that from the standpoint of what was the great unknown, right? I mean, you had the 3-year run with Kim Anderson, 9 wins in 2014-15. was, you know, year number one, and you went 8-9. You're 9-23 overall, including that basically disaster of an SEC season. 10-21 year number two. So you had 19 wins in 2 years, mm-hmm. and then you wrapped up the final run, the final season of Kim by going 8-24. So carry the one, 27 wins in 3 years.
Yep.
The discussion this year is with Missouri basketball. Do you hit 30 wins? And we're talking not cumulative over a 2-3 year stretch. We're talking 1 year. But you had no idea what this team was going to be. None. You didn't know if the parts were going to fit. You didn't know if the coach was going to fit with the parts. You didn't know if the assistant staff, the assistant coaches were going to be worth their salt. And since we love dealing in small sample sizes, and we'll do that with the NFL tomorrow, but I can already tell you the Dolphins are going to be in the bottom five. But this team was such a great unknown. How are you going to handle prosperity? Last year's team couldn't.
Well, didn't have a lot of
chances. They didn't have any opportunities, but they couldn't.
Right.
This year's team, Iowa State gets it to within 8 in the second half. Missouri goes on a 10-0 run.
Haven't seen that in a while.
No. The answer. They provided an answer on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri Tiger football right now has been able to give you an answer. When whether it's Idaho scores or UConn, you know, UConn started off 2-0, and I'm sure because of what has happened in the past, your track record will always determine your fan base response. UConn goes up 2-0 to start that game in scenic Connecticut, mm-hmm. along the shores of the Connecticut River. It's a lovely place, by the way. Falls is beautiful. Rensselaer Stadium.
Yeah.
Pratt and Whitney Stadium, Rensselaer Field. You go down 2-0, and you're thinking, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Poof. This is going to be a lot closer than everybody thought. And it wasn't. I don't think that's part of the game plan for this team to either give up a safety or throw an interception or a pick six to start out every game in that first quarter.
It sure seems like it.
Man.
If we could take that page out of the playbook, that would be great.
Yeah, can we remove that from the script and see what happens? See how much better things could go? But yeah, I think just from this, I agree with you from the standpoint of you had no idea what you were going to get with this Missouri basketball team. Because of all the disparate parts. And you got a really impressive performance on Friday night to the tune of a 15-point win over a Power 5 conference team. And
a tournament team from last year that, granted, is not going to be very good this year. They're in flux. A lot of turnover. But you take a tournament team. Mm-hmm. They come to your house right off the bat to start the season. Double-digit win. I mean, that you can't really ask for a much better start, especially after the last 3 years. It'd be one thing if you were just following on the heels of another successful coach,
mm-hmm.
you could still pick nits, right? You could still say, well, this didn't work out well or that didn't work out well. You dismantled a Power 5 team at home in front of a full house for the first time in 3 years. Probably longer than that, but for sure 3 years. And, I mean, you don't really... I mean, that's worth something more than just a W on the schedule.
Yep. As impressive as a 50-17 win is over an SEC opponent, I think you had a feeling that Missouri was going to win that game. You just didn't know by how much. Friday night, you had no idea what you're going to get when those guys walked out on the floor.
So right as the caller was calling in, and we appreciate the phone call, but you know, like I said, it was interesting that the basketball team came out of the gates and was just like, here we go. We're going to take care of this. We're just we are so excited. We're going to put this, you know, put this game away and do our thing and go for it. And the football team kind of was like, okay, it's been a little while since I've driven a manual. Hold on. Wait, hold on. I'll find it there. Wait, hold on. Just a second. We'll find second. Hold on. You know, and so while, you know, the end results were both positive, you kind of saw that the unknown team coming in, quote unquote, cold after some secret games and one big exhibition, you know, they really hit the ground running. And this team that's won three straight, you know, kind of had that little struggling point. And then they said, okay, nope, we got it. Mm-hmm. We figured it out. We're back on. And I kind of wonder, I go back to Barry Odom's knife edge comments of how thin their margin for error was.
Yeah, and he reinforced early, that in the post game
early,
as well.
Yeah, early in the season. Mm-hmm. Our margin for error is so thin. If we're not doing the little things, if the margin of error, we just can't. And you've seen over this four-game set, they've actually overcome some mistakes on their way to very impressive victories. They've overcome that margin of error a little bit.
Right.
Which I think is a huge step forward, because not only are you building confidence from putting up a big scoreline, but if you put up a big scoreline and never really face adversity, you don't really know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you face adversity in those games, when Drew Lock has to come back to the sideline and look at his offensive line, look at his defenders in the eyes after throwing a pick six, whatever, he learns every time that happens.
And he's learning more now. We brought this up with Gabe last week about how valuable that redshirt freshman year for Drew would have been had he been able to go through the entire process and learned. Because he was not and people forget this, he was not a full-time football player in high school. He did basketball and football. So he wasn't that 24/7, 365 guy with a particular sport. So it's there are those growing pains. And while we went through those growing pains with him, as aggravating as it was, the last 4 weeks and change, you got to like what's come out on the other side of that. We will be back. We will come out on the other side of this on the Closers.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. 442-8255 is the phone number. 442-8255. Again, basketball tonight over at the Mizzou Arena. Tickets, last we heard, were still available for the contest. So it's your opportunity. There aren't going to be many of them where they actually will have tickets available, although Ohio could be one of them and maybe, you know, a couple
Emporia.
Of the other. Yeah, Emporia could be another one, but still, it's going to be the opportunity. And once the SEC season starts, I bet there will be no opportunities available. So, with that, we switch to baseball for just a quick second. Did you read Jeffrey Flanagan's article on MLB.com about Ned Yost?
I did.
Yeesh.
Yeah, we almost lost Ned.
For those who don't know, last week he was in a tree stand or working. The original story was he was working on a tree stand at his property outside of Atlanta, fell, and fractured his hip.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Resting comfortably, according to the release by the Kansas City Royals, resting comfortably, full recovery expected, and he's currently in an Atlanta area hospital. Boom, done.
No big deal.
Right. It kind of was.
Except the doctor told him, we lost you on the operating table. You were crashing and we lost you for a minute.
Twice.
We thought we were going to lose you completely. And oh my gosh. I mean, good night.
No, it's a piece. If you've not read it yet, it is at MLB.com. Or it's actually on a Kansas City Royals website as well. KansasCityRoyals.com. Jeffrey Flanagan, who used to be doing Royals stuff with us here on the show.
Uh-huh.
And then he went big time with MLB.com.
Yeah, he did.
So,
speaking of other quick MLB round hitters,
yes.
GM for the Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
Not named Dayton Moore.
That's actually not his name, but.
Not named that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah, so he will not, Dayton Moore not leaving right now for greener pastures or Bravier pastures down in Atlanta. So good on him, and hopefully him and President Glass come to a bit of a reconciliation, mm-hmm. and figure out just how deep that checkbook is open. And 1999 Rookie of the Year for the Kansas City Royals, Carlos Beltran, announced his retirement today.
Yeah, he did so on Players Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
Penned a very nice letter. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
I mean, I use our litmus test completely, so...
No, I know.
I mean,
do you say yes, or are you going to go, well...
And in the hard-hitting Twitter journalism sphere, Carlos Beltran was the last remaining active MLB player from Backyard Baseball 2001, the video game.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So just FYI, that game is now...
Officially retired.
Officially retired.
Okay.
So
you do you get together then, and when you play Backyard Baseball, is it now the old-timers game?
I mean, I guess officially you would have to call it that.
Yeah.
They should make a gray mod.
A gray... It kind of put it... I don't know. Have you seen some of those heads there? There's not a whole lot of gray hair potential.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
Beltran wore all his gray on his face.
That's true. He did.
He did.
Yeah. You'd have to play all their games, though, before 5 o'clock.
And all nine MLBers that had qualifying offers,
mm-hmm,
turned them down. So
for the Royals?
No.
Oh,
across the entire major league, only 9 qualifying offers were made.
Yeah, did Lance Lynn actually even respond to the Cardinals, or did he just...
I don't think so.
I don't think he did.
But no, all the 3 for the Royals, mm-hmm, and 6 others, and okay, not one of them were accepted.
And the qualifying offer was $17.4 million.
Yep.
Which sounds like a lot of money. And I'd be all right.
It is a lot of money.
It actually is.
I don't know where you're going with that, but I'm just going to preempt you and tell you that is a lot of money. You know that checkbook you like to play around with, my checkbook?
Yeah, I do.
You'd have a lot more fun if I had $17.4 million.
Well, we'll figure out how to get that right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Yeah, basketball again over at the Mizzou Arena tonight. 8 o'clock the tip time. Missouri Tigers and Wagner. The Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Power Painters.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, Mizzou Wrestling had a good...
Yeah, good, they kind of did. 169 to minus 1.
Yep.
That wins you a lot of matches.
That does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the in-state duel.
Good night.
Yeah. And I know we gave away a pair of mat side seats to that one. And we have a set of mat side seats for every home duel this season. So you'll want to stay tuned on Thursdays when we visit with head coach Brian Smith for an opportunity to win those. So congratulations to both of our winners. Now, one of them, yep, got inside, one of them got outside.
Yeah.
But either way, they got to see wins, which was really kind of important. So Columbia College continues to win, both the men's and the women's soccer team gathering in AMC tournament championships, although the women already had won the regular season championships, and they will play on in the NAIA, right, Jay?
Yes, Saturday, November 18th, this Saturday, the women host a first-round match at R. Marvin Owens Field at 1 p.m. against Siena Heights from Michigan. And then following that event at 5 p.m., obviously in case that game goes over 4 hours, I guess it could,
yeesh,
whatever. But that's a lot of penalty kicks.
That's a lot of footy.
The men's soccer will host against the University of Northwestern Ohio at 5 p.m., Marvin Owens Field. Now, after the opening round, it does not continue to be home field advantage.
Right.
The men, should they win, will go on to the Seacrest Soccer Complex in Delray, Florida, and the women's will go on to Orange Beach, Alabama, at the Sportsplex down there.
Orange Beach, Alabama is a lovely place.
It is.
It is. During the summer, it's really hard to get to. But
yes,
right there on the Gulf Shores. Cougar Volleyball, meanwhile, ranked number 7, finish up their regular season with a 31-5 record. They are on their way to the NAIA National Championships. They'd already claimed the automatic bid, and they finished 2nd. They lost in 4 sets over the weekend to Park University. And they will be advancing to Sioux City, Iowa. They get the opening round byes, and they will play in Sioux City, Iowa, November 28th through the 30th, 24 times to the national tournament for the Cougar volleyball team,
mm-hmm,
including a national title a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So, with that, the Cougars will be busy. Basketball men back home again tomorrow night. Or they play tomorrow night, right? That's what I remember.
Who?
The Cougar basketball men.
Men don't play until Thursday night. That's at home against the St. Louis College of Pharmacy.
The Eutectics.
The Eutectics. And the women's team, they play tomorrow night, but they play away at Baker and then come back for a Thursday night game against the Eutectics.
And congratulations to head men's basketball coach Bob Burchard. Their win on over the weekend, I think it was Friday night.
Yep.
They rolled, and they rolled Bob right into career win number 750.
That's pretty awesome.
And I know if we ask him about it, he's going to say, well, it just means I've been coaching a long time. Well, you forgot the qualifier in that. You've been coaching well, nigh on great at times, for a long time.
Yep.
So it's been a really good run for head men's basketball coach Bob Burchard over there at Columbia College. So congratulations to him on career win at number 750 over the weekend. So a lot of NAIA action coming up here for Columbia College, including the national championship, national tournaments for both volleyball, men's and women's soccer. And Wednesday on the show, we will have John Klein, the footy coach for Columbia College.
Yes.
So we shall talk footy, AMC tournament, NAIA national tournament, and all of that on Wednesday here on the Closers, our Cougar Coaches Corner. So we're talking, and we'll wrap this up here. Thanks to Danny Jones and also Cameron Teague, CJ Teague from the Columbia Daily Tribune for joining us here on the program today. Missouri, Vanderbilt, I'm seeing anywhere from 7.5 to 9.5, purely for amusement purposes only, over Vanderbilt on the road.
Let's get it at 7.5. But...
And 66.5 is the over-under.
Over.
You're going over. Okay. All right. I can understand that, especially with the point production recently for this Missouri Tiger team. Basketball tonight, 8 o'clock at the Mizzou Arena. Get on out there. Support your Tigers. Jay, thank you much.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you all tomorrow. And as always, please be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.